All right. So everything that you see today, you'll never see again. Everything that you see today, you'll never see again. So that happened in the Exodus when he said, the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see them again. And so they're all buried at the bottom of the sea, all of those people. When the enemy looks, and don't be surprised at the enemy, he's an enemy. But we're not mad at him, and we're not mad at people. We're not mad at people that administrate the government. I'm not mad at them. Pray for them. Bless them. Love them. Do good to them. Never curse them. Why? Because they're people. They don't have teachers. They don't have anyone to mentor them. They don't have anyone to teach them the truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So the best has been saved. And the reason that you're going through all these troubles is not to give you an F. It's to give you an A++. Because when you make it through the troubles, which you don't think you can make it through, when you see something that's wrong, don't worry, God notices that. He notices long before you do. And he planned it, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, he planned it to send us through some troubles. And when you get through, you'll be totally happy. So why don't you be happy today? So don't worry about it. These people are just people like us. And we were once like them. We were once like them. Blind, you know, arrogant, nasty, whatever. And so on and so forth. So, anyway, second chapter of Exodus. I want you to turn to it. This, I've been teaching this in Dallas. And everything that you learn in the Bible is how do you go from trouble to no trouble? How do you go from being a slave for 400 years and then all of a sudden you're free? Totally independent. In other words, the world today seems grim because of you're looking. Don't look. What you see is not real. What you don't see is real. What you don't see is real. So this is what faith means. Faith means you can't see it. Faith means you can't see it. Every other religion is visible. Every other religion is nothing because you can see it. So everything that you can see is not real. Everything you don't see is real. So we believe in heaven. We believe in the fact that the future is bright, glorious. You can't even imagine anything more glorious. But if you don't believe that, you don't grow up. You just become a child. Everybody here who is born again, you go to church and all that. So you're a child. But children don't go to heaven. I don't know if you know that. Only the sons of God who are led by the Holy Spirit go to heaven. So you can't be a child. Today, children are, you know, everyone is a child. And God wants you to worship him with all your heart, soul, and strength. By the way, you can't do that. Then he wants you to love your neighbor. By the way, you can't do that. And so everything you want to do to help God out won't work. So let's not fix up the world. Next lot, fix up the church. You can't fix it up. Leave it. Leave it. How many know God is the only actor in the universe? There is no other God. There aren't two gods. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the only God you have. And whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. Whether you like it or not. And I like it. I love it. It's my whole life, Larry. I love it. Because the best is yet to come. And has he wasted all these years just to teach us that everything that's going on is actually in your favor, for your profit, for your advantage? So everything is going my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. So the best is yet to come. Now, Israel was Not necessarily doing anything wrong. She just didn't do anything right. And so because of that, God sent them into bondage so they'd realize what wrong is. They'd realize what idolatry is, what witchcraft is. They realized that. And so after 400 years of it, they kind of got the idea. And so here's the second chapter. Second chapter is very fascinating, interesting. Now, I'm going to read from the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever you want. I can tell you exactly what this is saying. And there went a man, chapter 2, verse 1, and there went a man of the house of Levi. Now, of all the sons of God in the Hebrews, this Levi is the fourth one, but he's the priest. So, and a man of the house of Levi took himself a wife, a daughter of Levi. So, Levi, Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. Okay, it could say beautiful child. As a matter of fact, it could be 20, 30 things. So this word, good. How many know God is good? Yeah. And no one else is good but God. If God is good, then you're not. It's simple. If God is good, then you're not. Because to be good means to be perfect. And it's not only beautiful, it's not only good, it's not only not evil, it's wonderful. And so Psalm 39, verse 5 says, man at his best state is altogether nothing. Should I translate that? Nothing, nothing, like nothing. And so everybody here is a nothing. And he created you out of nothing. Ex nihilo in the Latin. So you were created out of nothing because he just spoke a word and there you are. That's how you got conceived in the womb. That's how you got conceived in the womb. And so when we do that, we have children and they grow up and they'll be just like the parents. So if you're not participating in the laughter and the joy of the Lord, then the children won't be either. They'll figure it out when they're about, I don't know, 15, 20, whatever. They'll figure it out. And so it doesn't matter how you were raised. It only matters what you do when you grow up. So not everybody is perfect. How many know not everybody is perfect? Because you can't be good. Only God is good. Jesus said it this way. God is good and no one else is good but God. Kind of settles it. So when you do something wrong, that's normal. That's just totally 100% normal. And as a matter of fact, you don't grow up unless you do that. You have to realize, gee, your choices are no good. And a lot of the choices people use today is just what some friend will do. And you get tempted. And the devil tempts people to do what they're doing right now in our country. So you think, well, will it ever end? Of course it will end. It will end. Absolutely end. When? I don't know. Nobody knows. So I'm not really interested in that. I'm enjoying the wicked people. Because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're pastors. Presidents, they're, you know, whatever you want. There are people that do wrong. But kids do wrong. Kids do wrong. Sooner or later, you're going to say, you go to bed right now, I'm going to spank you. Want to. Because my sister's up and you let her get up. Yeah, but she's 18. You're only 4. You're only 2. And so people don't want to notice that kind of stuff, but that's the kind of stuff I notice. And so I never raised any of my children to be perfect. I raised them to sin, meaning I knew they would. Because any father knows that. Any mother knows that. they sooner or later will, you know, do something wrong, and you have to be able to forgive them. And I loved it when I could say to you, "That's okay, I forgive you." So I was just waiting for them to say, "You know what you said to do, I didn't do it." "Oh, good. Did you want to confess?" "No." "Will you?" "Okay. I did thus and so." "Okay, you're forgiven." And Peggy thought, "Why don't you spank them?" "I don't want to." Because children actually know the law and they deliberately disobey it, right? So do your homework right now. They don't want to. All little kids don't want to because it's work. And I never read a book until I was a junior in college. Never. I mean, ever. Never read a book. Ever. And so I just made stuff up and so on and so forth. It was wrong, but I did it. And then by the time I got to seminary to be a pastor, I wasn't a Christian. I was never a Christian. Then when I was a pastor and a Christian, I never was a good Christian. I never did anything I was supposed to do. I was always just selfish, totally self-oriented, totally did what I wanted to do. That's wrong. How many know that's wrong? But everybody in this room has done wrong. Everybody, 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 everybody. And why does God allow that so that he can then punish you? No, he's not going to punish you. As a matter of fact, he already died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. And since he died so that you could then say that his death was your death. In other words, when he died on the cross, you died on the cross. But you weren't on a cross. But you died anyway. So you're now forgiven for all your sins. So you have a new heart. Everybody has a new heart. You have a new heart. But most people don't want them. They don't want to do what's right. They want to do what's wrong. I don't know what it is about people. They want to do... I know what it is. It's that original sin that Adam and Eve did. It's that original sin. It's still with us. It's kind of in... It's not in your DNA, but it's just natural. Everybody that's born is going to pick up the culture. They're going to pick up what people do. They're not even interested in heaven. So you have to teach children, you have to teach them, fold your hands and say, "Jesus, thank you for food," and so on. And if you do that, then they grow up and they know what's right and wrong. You have to train them. But that doesn't mean they'll stay that way. That doesn't mean they'll stay that way, right? And so they need to learn that my loving father, my loving mother will forgive me if I do wrong, just like God forgave them, right? And so you see that when you raise children, you didn't really raise them. You didn't really raise them. You actually thought you were raising them, but actually they're just sinners waiting to sin. And when I went to college, I remember because, you know, there's nothing you could do. So I just ran up, you know, down a hill and, you know, I was free. No parents, nobody to see what I'm doing, no friends, nobody to do anything. And I was just free. I was excited. Whereas Peggy was, she was the opposite. She always wanted to do what was right. She always wanted to do what was expected of her. She always wanted to not be selfish. But secretly she was, but then she didn't admit it until she got married to me. And then her sin came out. I mean, it was incredible. I don't know, I have a knack for that. I'm good at it. And so, why do I all say that? Because I want you to understand why they went into slavery. When you're punished and you realize, gee, all of my deeds are not pleasing to God. So people don't wake up every morning and think, how do I please God? The first thing you think, I want to please God. No, you want to brush your teeth, you want to eat breakfast, you want to do anything else. This world, you don't want to do that world. You don't want to do anything because you have never seen him. You never saw Jesus, you never saw the Father, you never saw the Holy Spirit. You can't see him. David, you can't see him. So you have to believe in something that is unbelievable. It's like there is a God. but I never saw him. But one day, all of a sudden, I saw him. I fell in love with him, Barbara. I fell in love with him 100%. And it was my first year here in Texas. And at Christmas time, right after Christmas, we got on an airplane, flew out to meet these people in Scottsdale, Arizona. And in 3 days, I'd been criticizing them all day. And then all of a sudden, I fell in love with Jesus. And 1 second, 1 nanosecond, I just knew that Jesus loved me and I loved him. I don't know how. He first loved me and then I responded. And I loved him immediately. Because I was no good. I knew I was no good. How many have sinned like me? Raise your hand. If you just sinned like me one time, just one time, it's enough to keep you out of heaven. One sin will keep you out. But so I did. And I criticized those people. And I knew that they wrote a nice book. And I said, Peggy, let's go out after Christmas and let's visit these people for a week. And we'll just, learn from them. See if they actually do what they wrote. I always like to check things out. Did you know you have to be a person before you become a woman of God or a man of God? You have to be a person. You have to be a person. You have to be a person. Well, people don't do right. They're all born that way. They're born with that tendency to do wrong. And they will always do it, even if they hide it. They do it. So what are the people doing today in our government? Every one of them is trying to do a good work. Every one of them. They think what they're doing is burn down this, all the buildings, burn down everything, burn down the past, knock over statutes and all that kind of stuff. They think then they can build a better world. And they actually believe that. And you think that they don't. No, they actually do. But deep down, they know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. So even though they're doing wrong, they know they're wrong, but they'll justify it. You can't justify it in God's sight because he sees right through you. And God is, when God went down, do you think that was the first time that he knew Adam and Eve would sin? Because they sewed fig leaves on themselves so they wouldn't be seen by God. I bet he can't see through these fig leaves. So had all these fig leaves, that was the first industry we made. And so our parents did that, and God could see right through the fig leaves. And but he asked this question. Who told you you were naked? I don't know. And they didn't want to tell the truth. The devil. The devil said, that if you do what I tell you to do, because I'm your friend. How many know the devil is not your friend? The devil is evil. He's always a father of lies. He lies every time, all the time, all the time. He's never, ever, ever told the truth. And how many know God always tells you the truth? But it's the truth, but nobody wants to do the truth. Now, y'all with me so far?
Yes.
So I love teaching people because they're all liars and phonies and so on and so forth. And I love that. I love that. It's exciting. Because most other ministers don't want to say, hi, sinners. They don't want to say that. But I believe that everybody sins every single day. And I'm certain of it. I mean certain. Why? Got scripture on it. It says that until he comes back a second time, and he hasn't come back a second time yet, you're going to sin every single day. Right? Now, little kids don't even think about it, so they don't even know what sin is. They don't even know what it is. It's just doing what you know is right and do it wrong. And so they'll daydream. How many little kids are in school and you're not paying attention to the book or, right? You're just daydreaming, doodling on your pad or something like that. And so that's normal, right? And so God is not surprised at that. But I got away with murder. I mean, I got away with all kinds of things because the teachers, they didn't really pay attention to me. And so they just ignored me. And that was good because I was always the clown at school. And somebody, if I would burp or something like that, I'd do it out loud and so on and so on. That was wrong. You did that? See, that's good. And then I got sent to the office, and you know, you had to be whipped. In those days, they would whip children. They would have a stick, and they'd put that stick on you, and so on and so forth. So I did it, but everybody thought it was funny, except it wasn't funny. I had to get the spanking. And so I realized I probably won't do that anymore. Yeah, but anyway, I was a slow learner. Has anybody been a slow learner in school? Yeah. So I didn't learn right from wrong because I didn't have parents who even went to church. My three fathers, they didn't go, but the third father did, and so he forced us. And then so I had to go to church. But everything that's happening here is always for your good. Did you know that God is not mad at people that sin? He hates sin, but he doesn't hate you for sinning. He loves people, but he doesn't like them sinning because that will then miss out for all the joy and happiness of heaven itself, because that's going to last forever. And so everything that you're teaching is actually wonderful, but that doesn't mean you'll do it. It just means you got the head knowledge. You got the head knowledge. And one day I fell in love with Jesus and I've never stopped. Never. I decided that I would be a slave of Jesus. Whatever he says, I'll say it. Whatever he does, I'll do it. I'm just going to do what Jesus said. And I knew that was my job, but I never did it. I always secretly had a double life going for me. And I did that to my parents, I did that to teachers, I did that to everybody. So when I did that, I shouldn't be a Christian today, but I am. And I'm a good pastor now because I'm dead to this world. This world doesn't, it's not my real world. This is not the real world. The real world is in heaven. That's my home. Jackie, that's your home. That'll never change. So I know that someday all my sins were totally done away with when Jesus died on a cross. That didn't make any sense to me as a kid. How could a guy from another culture die on a cross for you? That didn't make any sense to me. So I was a reasonable person, so I reasoned it out and said, I'm not going to be a Christian. I don't want to ever be a Christian. But I ended up going to a church school. Then I ended up going to a seminary. And then I ended up being the top person in the school. And to get straight A pluses and A plus pluses in school, that's an amazing thing. But I did. And I knew all the head knowledge, but I didn't have any heart for God. But one day I did. That's why I came to Texas. I knew in Texas, people are Christian. I knew that. And so I was eager to come down to Texas and see if they're really what they say they are. And then I found a lot of them were Baptists. And they were hypocrites also. Oh, I love hypocrites. Because they say they believe in something, then they just did something else. And when you're not looking, they do it. So if you were a Baptist, maybe the men would go out in the porch and smoke and then come back into the church as though they hadn't smoked, but God saw them. And so they have to go to hell. But I don't even believe in any of that. I believe that God has never been mad at anybody at any time. He's always been a loving father, and he gave the laws so you'd actually come to these. This is the point you'd have to come to. I can't. I don't want to. Want to do something else. How many know that that's your response to God? I know you want me to go to heaven, but I don't want to go there now. Could I go later? And so people think that God is a lawgiver. He's never, ever, ever, ever given a law to anybody at any time. Except Jesus. He gave it to Jesus. So Jesus died for me. And Jesus died for everybody. And if he died, then that's because Israel couldn't keep the law. And he made it so hard that it makes sin exceedingly sinful. It wasn't just your conscience said right and wrong. This was actually making sin exceedingly sinful. That's in the Bible. So when it's exceedingly sinful, that means you're sinning all the time. Yuck. I thought I did a good thing there. You just deceived yourself. Now you can deceive others. And so people think that they're wonderful when they're not. But I've never thought I was wonderful till I met Jesus. And I thought, he's wonderful, he's good, I'm not. So I'm kind of like Norman. Amen? Could you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like Norman. And because of that, I didn't take God seriously. And now I take God only seriously, and I don't take myself seriously at all. Because I was always just doing something to get along, survive every day, try to kind of make it through the day. I was always happy because I didn't even know what happiness was until I met Jesus. Then I realized, wow, this is what I've looked for my whole life, is to fall in love with Jesus. But I never knew that until it happened. And 1 second later, I'm a Christian, just like that. And God asked me in the hallway, do you want me to be your Savior or do you want me to be your Lord? Savior. Would you like me to be your Lord now? No. I was very quick to answer. I don't want you to be my Lord unless you want me to start lying. Because I'm now a Christian. I'm in love with you. And I don't want to lie because if you showed up, I'd probably lie. And he didn't answer that question, but I asked it anyway. And so and then I said, that's probably the wrong answer. So, okay, de jure, by the law, you're the Lord. But de facto, I'm the Lord. You understand what I just said? So I bargained with God. Now, I didn't know if he didn't answer that question, so I have no idea what he really thought. But I assumed he liked my little answer there because I used the de jure. I used that kind of the Latin phrase there. According to the law, you're the Lord. But according to de facto, in fact, I'm going to run my life from now on unless you want me to start lying. And I thought God accepted that. I just was sure of it. At any rate, so from then on, I became a lover. Then I learned you had to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Ooh, I'm way behind on that one. Because I've always dominated. I've always wanted to be the top of the top of the top, even though I was at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. So I always wanted to be great. I wanted to amount to a hill of beans. Did you know what I just said? I wanted to be great, but I never got there. So he loved me while I was at the bottom of the bottom. I was criticizing these nice ladies that were taking care of us. And so I realized, you know what? I can't. I don't want to, and I'm not going to. Just like Pharaoh. Just like Pharaoh. If we read chapter 5 today, the Pharaoh said this, I don't know the Hebrew God, but I know one thing. He must not be very bright because all of you guys are slaves for 400 years. And what kind of a slave God do you have? He's not very useful to you. And so I don't know your God. I don't know what his name is. And I'm not interested in doing it. And I'm not going to let you go. You're going to stay slaves. Now, the people that are in charge today want you to be slaves. They want to set up a totalitarian government. That means you will not have any rights, you'll not have any constitution, you'll not have Bibles, you're not going to be able to do anything. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Don't you think that's exciting?
No.
That's as old as the hills.
I don't like it.
And that's just like China. That's just like Iran. That's just like Russia. That's like all the rulers of the whole world. And even if they said they were Christians, they weren't. And they're just man-made. Now, what God is doing is to cause us to say, you know what, God? You're the only one that's good, and I'm the only one that's not. And I can't stop being not. And I can't start doing what's right. I can't do good works and I can't do bad. You know what the Bible calls those works that you do that you think you're a Catholic and you can do good works? Or you're a Buddhist or do good works? You know what he calls them? Dead works. This is in the Bible. Dead works. So in God's sight, what you did is nothing. You didn't move one inch from where you were. You're still a little child. You still stayed a child. Children don't go to heaven. So everybody wants to be a child. You know, we want you know, Terrence, take care of me, you know, feed me, clothe me, bless me, spoil me, and so on. So today, there's no discipline. You'd have to then spank them to get the discipline. David, I know you've never done that. Well, maybe you did. Louise, you probably didn't do it. But children need spankings. The Bible says, spoil the child. If you don't spank them when they're young and they're just little bottoms, they're made for that. And then they really don't hate you. They knew they deserved it. My father, he would always say, do you know why I'm spanking you? This is my third father. Do you know why I'm spanking you? I don't know. Because you didn't do, you know, the garbage, or you didn't take out this, or you didn't wash the house, or whatever you're supposed to do. Because I was always disobedient. And I didn't want to do it and have him find out that I didn't do it. So he'd come in the front door, I'd go out the back door. I'd live a double life, a triple life, a quadruple life. Because I didn't want anyone to know what I was really up to. How many here, and I know none of you are because you're all Christians, but it's because you have faith which you can't see. Everything you believe is in heaven. Nothing is true down here. And whenever people become Christians, you think you're a Christian because you don't sin, but you actually do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says so. I won't take away all your sin until I come back a second time. That hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. So everyone that imagines they're doing something good is lying, deceiving yourself so you can deceive others. And so when you learn that God doesn't want you to do it, so he sent them into bondage for 400 years. Then finally their cry went out like this. Help God, we're slaves. And now Moses came to us and said, you know, do this and do that and so on and so forth. And now we're even in worse shape because now we have to find our own straw for these bricks. And so we're just making bricks. And it was bitter. It was bitter. Why? Because now you have to go and find your own straw. They used to bring you the straw and then you'd put the bricks and put that, that's a binder, in those bricks. But now they had to do it. And so they cried out, God, this is not fair. You're supposed to be good. Good? Good. And so God heard that. And so God, when he heard that, he said to himself, you know what? No man can do this. I'll do it. No man can do this. I'll do it. No man can put the government that we have now aside except God. Trump can't come back and do it. Nobody can do it. It's going to take God himself to do it because we're his people. And when you cry out and say, God, this isn't right, and it goes against everything you said. And I know you're good, but none of us are. So couldn't you come down yourself? So that's the way you do it. You're either going to fight or flight, you know, one or the other. But there's nowhere to flight. And there's nowhere to fight, really. Because they want all your guns. And they want everything. They don't want you to defend yourself. So isn't this exciting? We're the model for the whole world. Be like America. And now the whole world is looking at America and saying, what's happening in America? Now they're doing all the wrong things like we've always done. Are they going to set up a totalitarian where you'll be communist tomorrow, where you'll be a lesbian tomorrow, where you'll be this and you'll be that and so on and so forth? You'll be Iranian or something you're going to be. And all of these people are already bought off. They've been bought off for a long, long, long time. Ever since I began preaching, I said to people, your constitution isn't working anymore. And now it's coming out. It isn't hard. People, I could see, if what it says in the Constitution is we're going to be a model for the world. Well, we're not. And especially now, everybody can see it. I could give you the whole history of mankind. I know everybody, and I could say what everybody's thinking the whole time. They can hardly wait to sin and do wrong. And so it's fun for a few people to run all the rest of the people. So you have the few always ruling over the many. Now, you've been used to freedom. Freedom. Being free. You can do whatever you want. No, you can't. You can't do licentious things. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity to do wrong things. Use your freedom to do what's right. So the only reason we were given freedom is so you could do what's right and be the model. And we were for 200 years. Now that time is up. So all that thing and 500 years since the Reformation. So 500 years, and now we are finally being tested, and the only thing you can do is cry out to God. And you can't hate people because it says don't. So you have to love people. So I'm praying for them every day. I don't have any problem doing it because I'm sincere about it. I really want them to have somebody that could teach them the truth and could solve all the problems they have. So if you just got one liberty, just a postage stamp worth of liberty, you could do everything else. But you don't have that. These people are totalitarian. That means totally, they want total power over you forever. How many are aware of what I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And I could give you a book to read. It's a little thin book, 171 pages. I've finished it. And this book is written by a Jewish man that says, if the Christians go down, Jews will go down. And he is a brilliant writer. I mean, and he lists everything you could possibly want to know about history. And it's called A Dark Agenda. And this Dark Agenda is just a simple book. You can just read it in a day, easily. Dark Agenda. And this guy knows everybody and is familiar with everything going on, and he has been. Now, he's old, probably like me. But because of that, he could then say, and I knew this person, and I knew this person. So he's watched it all, and the Jewish people have had it made up until now. Now they realize America is the only hope for Israel. You are actually their defenders here in America, favoring them and wanting them to be their hope. Otherwise, because as soon as Biden, as soon as he became president, the next day, Netanyahu called him up and said, we're going to be together. He used to like Trump, but now he just, Biden. He likes him. But he's doing it because it's realistic. If they're in the power, then you got to go with the power guys. But then there's no more Israel. And they're not going to stop until they've destroyed. They say this all the time. This is all the feminist movement. This is all everything that's going on today. And if you don't know it, and I do, if you know it, then you know it. Hey, these people are serious. And they want to see America fall. They want America to fall. So they're trying to build another Tower of Babel. Did you ever hear that in the Bible? Tower of Babel. And they tried to build this, and this is just man-made, inspired by Satan, using Nimrod to build this tower. And this pyramid kind of thing. And at the top is the ruler, the Pharaoh. At the bottom is nobody, you know, because there's just slaves at the bottom. And so they're trying to do that now, and it can be a handful of people, but all of those monarchies, all of those oligarchies, all of those democracies don't work at all. Never have, never will. Never. There's only one thing that works. That was what we came up with here, we the people. So we made everybody as the people. Everybody here in the old regime, we all had a vote. We all had a voice. We all had something we could do if we wanted to. But most people were lazy, and they were too busy making money. They were too busy trying to be great and awesome and so on and so forth. And we watched Hollywood all the time, and we watched all that stuff. Now that's turned against you. Now they're openly anti-Christian, total hate Christians. Got to get rid of all the Christians. Then all the Jews are next. And so that's why we can't do it. We can't do it because of just Israel. Just Israel. And so we're the only hope they have. They don't have any other hope because we're their defense and we're also their supplier. We supply them. We're the foundation of Israel today. We were the first country that ever said, our president's the first one, Harry Truman, way long ago. He said, I acknowledge that this is a country all of its own, free and independent. Now, just 10 years ago, we freed the Sudanese, and South Sudan is now all Christian. All Christian. And so in South Sudan, and Uganda is now Christian. And we have Joel, who comes here twice a year usually, except for COVID. But he comes here and he just says, one out of five people, out of 52 million people, are all on our team. They are called born-again believers. They're the biggest group in the whole country. You can't find a bigger group. And so we're affecting that country, and that's why I could go to any country in the world and find people welcoming me. I could even go to China. I could go anywhere I want and teach the gospel. Why? Because they're open to it. So what they say publicly is not what they really mean. It's a game. It's a game. So they're playing this game. But it's about time for Jesus to come back. And so when Jesus comes back, he wants you to know this story, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. This is the Exodus. They were slaves, and now they're becoming free. It's always good to be free. And when she could not longer hide him after 3 months, this woman, it's Jochebed, by the way. Jochebed is the mother's name that the father had a child with. She took an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child in this basket. And she laid it in the flags, which is those things that grow up in the river, by the river's bank. And his sister, he had a sister, and the sister was older than him, she stood afar off and she watched what would happen to him. So the sister, Miriam, was standing there. The mother put this on the basket. He's 3 months old and she can't hide any longer. So she puts it in this basket and lets it float away. What you don't know is the daughter of Pharaoh, King Tut I, 1500 BC. And that's part of the 18th dynasty. And that is so powerful. So King Tut I, the two people that preceded him were killed. They were just killed by the people, so they couldn't take charge. But he was successful, and he could then run out all of the Europeans and all of the people that were from Asia. He ran them all out. And Joseph was gone. And this King Tut said, I don't know of this guy. All I know is there's more slaves in this place than there are us. And then there'll come a war, and they'll turn to the enemy and defeat us. And so this thing is over. So kill all the boys. If they're a boy and they're born, drown them in the river. So the two midwives said, yeah. And he said, how's it going? Not good. Not good. I tell you what, your Egyptian women, they don't know how we birth as Hebrews. They just come out walking. And long before you get there, they're already walking. Wow. Now, that King Tut was obviously not bright. He was probably not figured that out. But he said, okay, well, make sure you kill all the boys. And the girls can live, but not the boys. And so they cried out to God and said, God, this is wrong. This is wrong. So I love this story because this is the truth. This is not... It's not just made up. This is not just made up. This is actually history. And his sister stood afar off to see what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh just so happened came down to wash herself at the river, the Nile. And her maidens walked along the river's side, that is, the rock right along on the upside of it. And when she saw the sister, Miriam, the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. So this daughter comes down, and she didn't see Miriam because she's hiding among the flags, meaning these big, tall ferns. And then she says to her, go get that thing. And so her maid was a slave. Go get that one, because she's the daughter of King Tut the First. And because of that, and she's the only one, unless you marry her, you cannot be king. Nobody can be king unless you marry the one that has the power. And so, since Tut is now wanting all these boys to be killed, who can do anything? There's nothing he can do. So she says, oh, she opens it up and said, oh my gosh, this is one of my dad made that thing up to kill all the boys. This is a Hebrew child. So she opened it up and the baby cried. Oh, I'm good. This is the prayer that I've been praying to the Nile every day when I come down to wash. This is the prayer I prayed because I married Tut's son, Tut II. So King Tut II, I married him and he's dead in a few years. It didn't last any longer. See, that's because of incest and all that kind of problem. So he just didn't last. So the men are not vigorous. This Hebrew is the answer that the Nile God gave me. And there was no Nile God, but they said there was a God. And so all the other gods are not gods at all. And so she said, I'm gonna adopt this girl, this boy. The Nile God gave me this. Amun-Re. So that's the god of Egypt. And so Amun-Re gave her this baby, and she said, now don't tell Dad. Don't tell Dad. I think I'm gonna adopt this boy. And so right away, she said, keep quiet, because that's his rule, and you can't go against the government. How many of you can't go against government? Because it's a totalitarian government. He's in charge of everything, but I happen to be his daughter, and I don't agree with Dad. I don't agree with Dad. Now, how many know that God planned that? This is just God's plan. So she happened to be running as the thing is floating down the river. She happened to be go down. Hey, look over there. Hey, get that basket. Oh, for gosh sakes. This is a Hebrew child. I'm going to adopt this baby because it's the answer to my prayers. And so the daughter, Miriam, the daughter of the Jewish lady, she said, so she came, and when she opened it, she saw the child, behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then the sister said, Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for her? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go get the woman. And the maid went and called the child's mother, which was her mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, hi, mom, I want you to take care of this child, nurse it. And I will give you wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. So how many years was it? How many years was it? Do you know you could actually nurse for 7 years? But anyway, probably five. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. But it was typical among the Jewish people to wait about 5 years because it's convenient because the baby often is strapped to you and you just feed the baby. It's either on your back or on your front. And so the primitive world was not stupid about that, because that baby is content because he's right with the mother the whole time. And whenever he needs milk, he gets the milk and so on and so forth. So it's kind of a very clever way of doing it. And today, if you try to give our kind of milk, carnation milk, or all, they don't want it. They want mother's milk, and they reject it. And so one day we tried to send a whole carton, you know, these big 20-foot cartons and so on, all the way to Egypt with milk in it. So we went to one of the big donors and said, do you have it? Yeah, we have it. So we're going to trade you this for that. And so we did. But nobody wanted it. And when we took it there, they said, we don't want that stuff. That's from America. And I don't like that. We want the real thing. So they were way ahead of us. We thought we were advanced. We're actually way behind. And so a lot of the things are doing now, and some young mothers now wanted to do it that way. And so, like in this church, I know there's a lot of babies that were born at home because we didn't want to go to the hospital. We didn't want to go and have the tweezers and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because abortion became one of the big deals that we began to do. And I, myself, they used to do it with coat hangers and all that kind of stuff. I was tried to be aborted when I was a baby, and my mother was really no good at it. She couldn't abort me. She tried four times to abort me. And she didn't tell me that till I was, you know, older. And I said, well, Mom, I guess you were no good at aborting. Because here I am. And I'm happy. And she was crying. Because she didn't want to tell me that. And I said, well, how did I avoid all the stuff you poured into me? Or, you know, sticks or whatever. I want to know, because I must have been an amazing child. Because I escaped all that. So did I close my mouth? Or what did I do? Or did I duck? Or what? And mother doesn't think that was funny. My mother was not mad. She was unhappy with me doing that. She was crying. Because she had never shared that with me. I guess the whole family knew about it, but I didn't know. I didn't know how I was born. Because my grandmother said, you got to kill that baby. Because this baby is going to ruin your career. You'll not have a good career. And so then that was it. Well, so she tried and tried and tried and tried and failed. And so I thought that was funny, because here I am. And I'm a pastor too. So that was even more reason why. And I'm a pastor. I'm a man of the cloth. And so for me, it's a joke. For my mother, it was tears. She cried. But then she realized, see, I don't know whether she wanted to kill me or didn't want to kill me. All I know is she did what the mother said, grandmother. Grandmother didn't want me. And so she'd already had my cousin, who was born the year before. And so now we're gonna have all these people being born because their girls are messing around. And so that was the way we are. But I found out later we were from the mafia. I didn't know that. And so all my family was mafia, Irish mafia on one side of the family, Italian mafia on the other side of the family. And my birth father was working for Jimmy Hoffa. And so I met him later. And we had a wonderful time because he was so happy that he had a son. And he never knew that he had a son. He didn't know he had a son or a daughter. He didn't know that he had anything. Because my grandmother, when he came to the house the next day to find out, she said, oh, she's on her way to Virginia. Of course, lying. I come from a group of liars. And so I love liars because I was good at it. I was very good at it. And I was like a sociopath. I had no care what people said or thought. You know, I didn't care. And so everybody wants to raise nice children today. And I think it's God's will. But how do you do it? How do you do it? Because there's temptations out there. And a lot of the young people are going for the bad stuff. So you have to realize this world is falling apart. And a lot of people are asking me, is this the end of the world? Oh, no, this is just the beginning of sorrows. And that's when Walter said, you know, only the beginning? Is it going to get worse? Yeah, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so when you realize that, you'll have to have good news every week you come. And I love that. And so here's what happened. this story. And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. The maid called the child's mother, and the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, nurse it for me, I'll give you wages. She's going to even be paid for this. And women took the child and nursed it. And the child grew and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her adopted son. And she called his name Moses. And in Ethiopian, it's not Moses. It's Senenmut. Say it. Senenmut. Senenmut. S-E-N-E-M-U-T. And so Senenmut was his name in Ethiopian. But we call him Moses because of the Bible. So the Hebrew word is Moses. Moshe. And so all of these things are just not made up. These are real things that happen to God. And that's why you have to read this Bible every day, because it's fascinating. And Moses then, and she said, I'll call his name Moses because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out and his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So Moses is now a grown man. And he's the one actually that made the biggest thing you could go to Egypt today is to find in the Valley of the Kings. This is the most magnificent building you've ever seen. Even they say so. It's not just a pyramid. This is much more than just a pile of rocks. This one is a temple that has an outer court, then an inner court, and then a supreme court on the back of it, which is the Holy of Holies. Exactly like Moses later built when he asked God, how do you build it? He said, build it like this. So he built the same thing. Outer court, holy place, Holy of Holies. Same thing. Exactly. And so Hatshepsut was the girl. The daughter of Pharaoh was Hatshepsut. She then married her brother, Tutu. He died right away. So then she prayed in the river, give me a son. The son came floating down. She adopted him as a son, and he became 91 titles. Nobody ever had that many titles in all of Egypt. Nobody. And I'm an expert on Egypt. So nobody ever did that. You could be this and that and so on. You couldn't be all of them. This guy had everything you could have because she grew up him that he'd be the next Pharaoh. So he would be the Pharaoh of all Egypt and control the whole world. Because Egypt now was the greatest empire in the whole world. And so everyone was afraid of them. And so everyone then didn't want to go against Egypt because there was no other, the Assyrians weren't powerful, the Babylonians weren't powerful. Nobody was powerful at this time. So Egypt dominated the whole world. And Egypt then, and I want to read 12 someday, not today, but maybe I'll do 5 next time. I like reading this the way it's written, but you're going to miss out a lot of little details, but I can fill them up in anyway. And so, let's see. So then, when he went out a second day, behold, two men, Hebrews, were fighting together. And he said to them that did the wrong, Why are you fighting your fellow Hebrew? And he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses feared and said, uh-oh, this is going to be known by everybody. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. When Pharaoh heard this thing, so now Tut 3 is now the Tut. And that guy waited for the mother to die, Hatshepsut, and she died. So now he's 40 years old. He kills this Egyptian, and Tut 3 says, I'm going to kill him. And he has to then escape to Midian. When he escapes to Midian, he's going to find these daughters of the high priest, Jethro. And you read about this all in the Bible. Now, I'm going to read it and then close. So what's happening here is And now when Pharaoh heard this, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of the Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. So these are Midianite shepherds. They didn't want to help the ladies, 7 of them. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And then when they came to their father, to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you came so soon today? How did you get here so fast?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and who also drew water for us, and he watered the flock." And he said to the daughters, "Where is he?" He's out there, I guess. "And why is it that you've left him? Go call him that he may eat bread in my house." And Moses then was content to stay with this man, and Jethro became his friend. And so he was now the Midianites' son-in-law to this high priest. And so she's a priest, and Moses later will be not the priest. He'll be the lawgiver, and his brother Aaron, who's 2 years older than him, and also his daughter also, they are all older than he is. And so now, what's he going to do? And so he has to figure out, how do you work in an unpleasant environment? How can you operate in this kind of America? How can you operate in this kind of world that's falling apart? How do you do it? We have the biggest military in the world and so on and so forth, and now it's in somebody else's hands. And everyone at the Pentagon was already removed under Obama. And so all of them are on the wrong side. There are people on the right side. There are people on the wrong side. People on the right side of the Air Force and so on. Every one of these has Christians in it and non-Christians in it. But Christians are now going to be hunted down. You have to find all the Christians and kill them off. So I don't want that. Do you want that? No, you don't want that. But how are you going to prevent it? The only way you can do it is pray for them. Bless them. Love them. Because in the Bible, there's no cursing. You don't curse in the Bible. The curse has been done with when Jesus died on the cross. He paid for your sins. He paid for your dowry. He's coming back to marry you. So do nothing. Why? If you do nothing, because God didn't tell you to do something. So how can you do anything? Just carry along. And so how do you flee? I don't know. I don't know. Where do you want to go? Mexico? I mean, where do you want to go? California? I mean, where do you want to go? And so people today are confused. I'm going to tell you something right now. God is totally in charge. He's never not been in charge. And he's doing this and allowing this so that you grow up, and it's a wake-up call. It's time for the church to stop being lukewarm and start being all the way for Jesus. And I'm going to start with Larry. He's going to go all the way with Jesus, right? And you and your wife. And then David. Then we'll go start with David. And so we're going to keep going. And then David Gibson is going to start all the way with Jesus. And then after that, Tony, your wife. So everything, you know why? Because this is the greatest moment ever. Because God never does anything that's not to your advantage, not to your profit, not to your benefit. Everything is for your benefit. Don't think that what you see is what is. It's nothing. Trump could go back tomorrow and it'd be over. It'd be over. Because he put all these people in jail and it'd be over. I don't think it's going to work that way, but I don't really care how he does it, because I'm not God and I don't care about God. In other words, let God be God. I'm not God, so I'm not going to be the judge. But so however God does it, I'm for it. If he wants to drag this thing out, let him drag it out. Because I'm not afraid. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? That one right there, Teresa. Anyone else? Raise your hand. You're not afraid. Right. Why? Because you have a good God, and He's the only one that's good. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, if you are being tested right now, which you are, He's waking you up to say, this is the most wonderful time in the world. And if you can then just endure, be patient. Don't be anxious. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, because they're going to keep doing things. And it's all against you. Biden just does what Obama wants. Biden just does what Obama wants. So he's carrying on what Obama started. And it's the old feminist movement. This is a feminist thing. This whole thing is feminism. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. God will take care of it. How many know it's just a test on you to say, will you go all the way and will you be happy all the way? Will you have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Amen?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. You're just being tested and you get an A++. You get an A++ when it's all over. I don't want to do it. You know, okay, I know nobody wants to do it, but I'm just telling you, you're wrong. I'm rebuking you. I'm telling you, and I'm chastening you, meaning I have to say this because the church isn't ready to be hot. And if you're not hot, then you cannot touch the lukewarm or the cold. But if you can, and I want to, it said, this is the time to grow up. This is the time to be all the way with Jesus. And I've always known, ever since I've been a pastor, and I got that born again thing right here in Texas, I've always known, where do you want to go except Texas? This is the safest place. This is the way I want to be here. And the governor, it's even said, if they come to take away our guns, we will block them. But that doesn't mean anything because he's just a person. And you have the whole United States against Texas? But we have more guns. Yeah, well, maybe so. We may have more air things. We got everything. Who knows? I'm not even interested in that. I don't even want to read the papers. I just like reading the Bible. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. Right? So how many are excited about what God is doing, because you have no clue and you're not in control? That's all you need to do is your control. You're not totalitarian. You don't control your own life. You don't control your children's life. You don't control anybody's life. Let God raise them up. And the way we raised our kids, we never said, don't do that. What we said to them, Christians don't do that. I never explained it. I just said, Christians don't do it. So stop pinching each other. And then the kids did it. And then what I would make them do after that, so I would have the kids there. I wish David were here. So then let's say, she's cheating at Monopoly. And so, well, let's throw out the Monopoly board. No, but she's cheating. And one was trying to outdo the other and so on and so forth. I say, well, just hug your sister and say, I love you. No. I love them to sin like that. And so I say, oh, I'll show you how. Oh, I love you, so I just give you this hug? And so on. So, I'm not going to do that, Dad. Yes, you are. You're going to go. Christians don't do what you're doing. You do what Jesus said. Okay, I love you. No. I'm going to do it again. I love you, sister. We're sisters. And so they do it, and they break out laughing. You might not believe me, but they break out laughing, and they realize, oh, that was silly. How many know that people don't even know people do not know what they're doing? So spontaneously, they'll just say something, but they're just because they're mad for a second. Then it's over. That's the way Peggy and I solve things. We just talk to each other, yell at each other, and then all of a sudden we hug each other, and it's over. It just takes 2 minutes, or maybe 2 years, but whatever it takes, it's so Peggy loves me dearly, right, Peg? See that? See, likes me dearly. And so you imagine that you can run your own life. You don't know what you're doing. Just do it the Jesus way. It works. How many know you can do it? And how many know that will God forgive you every time? There's nothing you could do that God wouldn't forgive you for. He did it the first, without your permission, he went ahead and died on the cross for you. You weren't even there. You didn't even help him out. Jesus, you didn't have permission of me. I just did it because you'll never do it, so I did it for you. Ah, so he does it for me, then in me, then through me. Norman, this works. It works. When you do it the Jesus way, it always works. But it goes against your grain. It goes against your sinfulness, your fleshness. How many know you have three enemies? The devil, the world, your flesh. The world, the devil, the flesh. So all three of those have to be defeated, and here's how you do it. Faith. Just have faith in Jesus. Your faith is not in yourself. Your faith is in Jesus. So you just say, Jesus, what do you want me to say? I'll do it. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. That's it. So how many are blessed today?
Yes.
What a wonderful sermon.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a wonderful sermon. But it isn't, I'm just plagiarizing the Bible. I'm just saying what it says in the Bible. But I totally believe that's the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So who'd like to testify? David, do you want to testify?
Amen.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Right. See, God forgives you anyway. There's no way that God won't forgive you. All you got to do is like God heard her cry. Israel cried out. God was right there. And so you just go to God because you're the leader. You're the head of the family. So you need to be the one that first says, I'm sorry. It was my fault. But it doesn't. And it doesn't. And it doesn't have to. They're just being normal. But I'm just telling you, if you just keep it up, because you're the Father. And so they'll look at you. As Christ loved the church, so as he did it, so would I have to love my wife just as Christ did, to the death. To the death. So no longer do I live. I want to teach it, and I don't care if they listen or not. I don't care if they like it. I just say it. And then leave it. I don't ever repeat it. I just leave it. And God somehow works it out. So you don't have to convince anybody because it's not a good work. It's not a good work. You just simply do it because God says to do it. So we love everybody that's ever been in our life. We're a Christian. We love everybody that's ever been in our life. Family, if you start with your family, then it's easier to go to somebody else. But, you know, it's just a family squabble. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They're all brothers. They're brothers. They're brothers. They're not even different. You know, they're not different. They're just all the same. So it's a family squabble. Someday there'll be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Just like they sang when Jesus was born. And that day we could see it. We could actually do it. It won't hurt. Let's say we rehearse it ahead of time and it doesn't work. Well, that's all right. God will forgive it anyway. I want you to know God is always on your side. He'll never be against you. Norman, you can do it. You can do it. And the reason you need to do it is because it helps you to grow up. It helps you to be mature. That's all he wants. Hot means total passion toward God. Total passion toward your neighbor. Total. No matter who your neighbor is, just begin to do good works. Why? Even if you do it wrong, he'll still forgive you anyway. So this thing is not easy. It's completely impossible for the flesh to do.
Yeah.
So kill your flesh. So the next thing is kill my flesh. The next thing, kill the devil. Kill everybody. All the enemies. And if you get that interior thing going, you'll get the exterior. We'll return to a peaceful and we will be in charge again. Did you know you're going to inherit the whole earth? The meek shall inherit the earth. Why not start now? What better thing do we have is to become Christian all the time? Why? Just quote the Bible. Don't even believe in it. Just quote it. Because it says, faith cometh by hearing. So just hear it. And then it works. So it's amazing. All right. Testimony.
Yeah, we both do. Who are you going to pick first?
Okay, you.
Lay
Ladies first.
I'm in charge.
Teresa.
In the household.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found the will of God, just in case anybody else was looking for it.
The pastor said you go first.
It's, now you made me lose my spot. Yeah. Anyway, it's in Thessalonians, and it's rejoice.
Right.
Pray and give thanks. Well, there you go. That's the will of God.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. Perfect. What are you going to say?
This loving, you know, this loving thing, there's no way I could do it. Especially if you've done me wrong about very difficult times. So when, I remember when I first met Teresa's best friend, I did not like her at all. She was just mouthing off of me. And it took, I remember saying, well, I got to, you know, this is my wife now, and I'm going to be with this best friend of hers. You got to do something, Lord. So I like, you know, I'm supposed to love her. And so I began to just pray, Lord. And every time I think about her or what she did to me, I say, okay, Lord, just bless her. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord. And before I knew it, now I love her. And now if she can do something against me, and I still love her. So that took a lot of work, praying, and it finally came. So all these other people
right. That,
you know, like, oh, Lord, bless Biden. Like, I want to take the guy's head off.
Right.
You know, you'll have to change me with Pelosi and all these Democrats and this guy and all the transvestite, I gotta kill them all. But okay, Lord, bless them today, Lord. Take care of them.
That's it. You don't have to think. There's nothing to think here. Just do what Jesus said. We live by every word that constantly is coming out of the mouth of God. Who else? Yes, David. It is. In fact, turn to any book in the Bible. It'll all say the same thing. It's always the same. The Bible is consistent. Its DNA is everywhere. You can take any one sentence and it'll say the same thing. It's time for us to grow up, and why not be the first church or whatever? It's nothing. You don't go to heaven because of it. You go to heaven because you just did what he said. That's how you love your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, it's finished. Love God, but I can't do that. He'll have to do it. I can't love my neighbor, but he'll have to do it. So you just do what he said, and it works because you believed that what you just said is the truth. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to think about it. There's nothing to think. God doesn't want you to think because you're thinking stinking. And I'm just telling you, we heard Robert yesterday on the television or somewhere, whatever it is, internet or whatever. And he was just saying, and I haven't even heard it twice. I only heard it one time too quickly. And he's just simply saying, just don't do anything. God has everything in control and so on. It's just the same message. It's too powerful. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Right.
Like there's B-Force at 100 acres, and 65 acres, and now,
right.
Anyway, now there's 8% meat, and I'm babysitting these kids when I was 15. Right. Anyway, so it's all, I grew up there, and so I don't like change, but every time it changes, it is better, and I you know, when you said the best is safe, the best is the last.
Yeah. Amen.
It almost sounds like you're Mm-hmm. It's not that way. It's just that it's better.
Right.
But it's really hard to have change. And so anyway, so I was thinking that last night. I was like, God, I know you're in control. Mm-hmm. You know, because he is. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to just let go.
Sure.
And
he knows that. And he's not bothered at all that you think that. He's just simply saying, do what I said. Just trust me. Right. Perfect. Right. Amen. Too powerful. I love it. Who else? Did you have your hands raised? Do you have your hands raised? Oh, yes.
Our area is changing, so I'm just praying. I know God's in control.
Amen. Paul.
Sir.
It's time to be hot rather than lukewarm.
Sir.
Boiling hot, by the way. It's boiling hot. That means this is your whole life. In other words, you don't have anything in this world. You have no stake in this world. This world is just temporary. And it says right now, it's already passing away. It's not going to. It's already, even in the New Testament, it said it's already passing away. This world is almost done. So now we're in the last of the last days. And now it's time, just do what Jesus says and it works. Bye, girls. And David. Yes. I'm sorry? Yes. Ah. Yes. Yeah. You're not praying just for them. You're just praying that they be saved. That's all. That's in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5.
Instead of shooting them, we got to pray for them.
Exactly. Yeah, just pray for their salvation. And wouldn't that be good that they would become your friend?
Well, I guess so. Yeah. Biden is my friend.
Right.
I guess so.
Yeah, right. Because it's just a family squabble. So, sorry.
Okay.
I think it's wonderful. Who else? You can just make it up. Yeah, Clay. Right. Amen. Yeah. So, because we can look at something that doesn't look good and say it's good because God approved it. Because I don't believe that people are in charge. I think God is totally in charge. And I think he can use anybody at any time to bless you, profit you. And so even the bad guys are part of it. Don't exclude them because they're worth it. Jesus died for them too. They just don't have teaching. And Christianity is the only religion. There's no other religion. The other religions are idols. Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. All right, who else? Anyone? All right. You can just make it up. Norman, what do you have to say?
God is good.
Good. Okay, perfect.
One thing that is coming out is that God and God alone is God.
Yeah.
And even he says in there is nobody else. I don't know any other God.
Right.
Okay, so he is still the governor of the nations.
Yep.
The work that he started, he is the one that's going to do.
Right.
So I am just thankful that he is God and I'm not.
Right.
Because the way I want things, still the
one. Right.
Okay, but God.
Perfect. Right. Now I'm going to say something that'll be the last word. This is the last word. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. So you're suffering. So what? Trust God. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. He's God. He doesn't have to die if he didn't want to. But he said, no, I learned obedience through what I suffered. Because he was Son of Man. And he came down to be Son of Man so he could die for us. And then rise up and live inside of us. And then let all these things happen. And watch us then become true Christians. And it's not sophisticated. It's not tricky at all. It's just simply God arranged everything for Moses to become the not the high priest. Moses was not the high priest. Aaron was. But that's a type for us and an antitype today. You are also going to be priests and kings with God forever. You're going to be a priest, forgive everybody, and you're going and sacrifice yourself, suffer, whatever. And you're also going to be a king. And then that's different. It's different to be a king. Now you're in charge. You're an adult. You're a son. You're not a child. So that's what the church needs to be. And the Reformation did not do that. It only said what it says. He said what it says, but he didn't execute it. So the Reformation has to be executed now, not just talk about what God wants to have. This one is now, do it voluntarily. Do it voluntarily. God, I don't need anything else more than the Bible. The Bible is the only thing I can see. Just do the Bible. If you just do that, boom, it's over. So, this is wonderful. Who else? Anybody? Susie.
Mm-hmm. As neighbors, right. As friends, even. And, we just bumped each other, and it was really hard. But what God has been showing me, she was here one day, and the next day, she was gone.
Right.
And the thing that I told Deborah, I think God's been teaching me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't hang on.
Right.
They're here one day and they're gone one day. And if you love them,
right.
You need to love them right where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Not if they clean up or not.
Right.
If they,
yeah.
You got it. You got it.
Just love them.
Good work.
Because
perfect.
They may not be here tomorrow.
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. You got it. You got it exactly right. All right. Lord, we just pray for the people today that the word goes forth. And it always accomplishes the things you intend for it, not what we want. It's not what we desire. It's what you desire. And you desire us to not be God. You desire us not to replace you. You're God. We're not. We just do what you say. We are slaves, and we don't have a will of my own, a mind of my own, emotions of my own, deeds of my own. We just do what you want. And we give you all the praise. And everyone said.
Amen. Okay, I got a few announcements. Pray for Luke Halverson and Michelle Salazar. It's their birthday today. There is an Agape Feast next week. Next Sunday. It's Italian. And the sign-up sheet's back there. And containers are back there, too. If you, they want you to use disposable containers if you don't have any. There's some available for you back there.